Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. It's me again. You've got me again this morning. Hope you're doing well this week. As people connect and get online, why don't you post something encouraging from your week? Whether that's something encouraging that happened, something you read, or it could be something else. But do just comment and... as you comment, it will, I'm sure, encourage others as we meet this morning. So, yeah, do just comment, say something that's happened in your week that's been good, something encouraging, something that has encouraged you. It's a difficult time, isn't it? Due to the lockdown and all the things that are going on. We certainly have up and down days. I'll just see if a few comments come through. Hope you're doing well this morning and I've been enjoying the weather this weekend. It's great that we can now see family a bit more, and our neighbourhood in particular have certainly taken that on board. There seemed to be a big party going on, but hopefully it was no more than 6 people. Another bacon sandwich. David, are you eating anything else? Though they are good. Has anyone got anything encouraging they'd like to share? Maybe a Bible verse or something that's just been positive this week. Apart from David's bacon sandwich. Present. Okay, Jack, you've got... maybe he's just said present as in he's online. I thought you'd got a present. That would have been good. All right, we'll move on. Good to see you. I'm going to start by reading Psalm 71 as we start. Okay, Psalm 71 says, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." That was Psalm 71. Let me just pray as we start. Lord, we just invite you into our midst this morning as we once again meet remotely, as we look at your word, as we hear some thoughts about fellowship, and as we pray together. I just pray for you to be present in our homes during this time. Thank you that we can still meet in this time of lockdown and this time of uncertainty. And like that verse says, be our strength, be our hope, and be our foundation. Amen. Okay, well, this morning Paul will be bringing word again on fellowship, so we look forward to that, continuing our series on Acts 2:42, I think, from memory. So just a couple of notices. Firstly, I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to connect with the prayer meetings on Zoom. The details are in this slide. They're happening at Monday at 9 o'clock, Thursday at 1 o'clock, and what I would say is try and put them somewhere where you remember. I've woken up on Tuesday morning and gone, oh, I forgot about the prayer last night. And so maybe put them on your fridge. It's great to connect with each other and pray for people who we know in our town and wider. And so I would really encourage you to get involved with that. The details are on that graphic there. Good stuff. So Reach continue to do great work in the town during this time. They've supplied food to many, many people that are in need. They have still provided their support. They have recorded a short video just to update us on some of the things that have been going on.
Well, it's been good to be back to Reach after my 3-month sabbatical. And what a sabbatical it's been. You know, in the words of King David in Psalm 23, my cup runs over. And it really does. It has been the best of times. I was totally confident in the team that they would be able to step up and that they would be able to look after the food and the debt, you know. And we knew there'd always be some changes. But my goodness me, we didn't expect to see the changes that we've seen. And, you know, the team have really stepped up, you know, under really difficult circumstances. So, you know, food has gone out. You know, people have been helped with debt still. People have been helped with forms. And the amount of food that's come in has been absolutely incredible. The community has really stepped up. We've had food coming in. We've had financial donations coming in. It really has been an amazing time. And, you know, we're just so thankful. One of the things that we would really like, you know, going forward is that we want to break out of the lockdown scenario, and we will. And we are really hoping that by certainly by the beginning of July, we'll be, you know, open in some kind of way. But more details to follow on that. But what I'd really ask you to do at the moment for us is that you pray for us. Pray for us at Reach, especially those who are meeting clients, who are speaking with clients, because sometimes we're coming across people who are just in such a desperate place, who really are anxious, they're just fearful and just so worried. And so I'm asking that you would pray that we would be able to effectively take that light, that love, that peace, and all the goodness of Jesus and impart it into their lives so that people can begin to believe again and that they can have hope. Thank you.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Henry, and thank you to all the Reach team who have done great work over this time. If you would like to get involved, I'm sure they will appreciate help and volunteers. Do either have a look on their website or email info@reachhaverhill.org.uk, and I'm sure they would love to hear from you. But also keep them in your prayers this week and beyond as they continue to, you know, really be the response in a way to this situation. And I'm sure the need is only going to get greater. So as themselves and with us as the church, as River of Life, but also the wider church, do pray and think about how we can respond as a church in this present situation, but over the next year as well. Good stuff. So I'm going to hand over remotely to Paul, who is going to bring today's word on fellowship. So grab your Bibles, grab a notebook, and let's hear from Paul.
Hi, good morning. Let's get straight into reading our scripture together, shall we? Acts 2, 42 to 47. A church that is in revival. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, I just pray that as we think some thoughts together this morning, that it will be your thoughts that burn in our hearts, Lord, and challenge and change us. The things that are from me, let them fall to one side. But Lord Jesus, we truly want to be as close to being like you as we can, and we want to represent you as well as we can in this world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Wow. So we've been thinking about this passage of scripture, haven't we? I know last week we stopped and we thought about some of the issues or some challenges that might be there for us personally within the whole racial conversation. And that's a conversation I know that is going to continue and grow, and I trust that we can engage with that as best we can. And so that's not really going to go away. But today I want to return to thinking about this passage of scripture from Acts 2, 42 to 47, and thinking about how that is representative of a church that was going somewhere, that a church that was it's really about looking at in one sense, the genesis of the New Testament church, and thinking, you know, what was it that fueled their passion and their power? And we thought a little bit about the apostles' teaching, that they were fueled by teaching that was based upon the way that Jesus had interacted with the scriptures, with the words of Jesus. And we thought a little bit about how challenging that is. You know, later on in the year, in our Connect groups, we're going to be thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. And for me, that is the most radical teaching that we can engage with. And you know, that will be an exciting thing to do later in the latter part of this year. We thought a bit about prayer and that amazing, powerful prayer that fueled the New Testament church. So today we're going to think about fellowship. And my, that's quite a strong, that's quite a challenging one, actually, in many ways, when we think about fellowship. Let me give you a quick screen share. We're going to sort of dot in and out a little bit of screen sharing today. Hope that's okay. When we think about the word fellowship in the New Testament, it literally means to share, and it's share at a very deep level. And it's used in two ways. One, in relation to our shared life with God and how we share with him, and we remember that in the communion, that we share in the death of Christ and therefore the resurrection of Christ, and there's lots of thoughts that we could share with that. But it's also about sharing life with others, with other Christians, and certainly I think that's what's in view here when we think from this passage in Acts 2. And of course it means sharing life in lots of different ways, and we see that church was a church that was in and out of one another's homes, and that were together often, and that, you know, shared in prayer together, they shared in their engagement with scripture together. But actually, in context here, I think what we're seeing is that particularly it was a church that shared in caring for one another in their material needs. Now, very, you know, powerful statement that we see in there, that no one considered anything their own, but they shared with one another as they had need. And if we look forward into Acts chapter 4, we'll see that they actually came to the place where they said that there were no needy persons among them. Now, let me just say, what I don't think we're seeing here is we're not seeing a pattern of life that we're meant to emulate that is, revolves around a common purse. You know, a little bit like you might find in a commune or in some forms of monastic life, you know, where everybody just lives out of a common purse. I don't think that's what we're seeing here, because, you know, the idea of it, of people saying they didn't consider anything their own, does indicate that they still had some form of ownership over their financial affairs and their material goods. But what I do see, what I do think we've been given an example of, is a community that was so impacted by what God had done for them that they wanted to be mindful of the needs of others. And in that sense, what they were seeking to achieve was they were seeking to achieve a church or a community where the needs of one another, the needs of the community were shared amongst them. That they wanted to be a community that really cared for one another and for the community that they found themselves in. And in that sense, they had choices about what they did with their own material goods. And I just want to say that it's more than just money that we're talking about here. You know, certainly in that community would have been a community where they would have been very agricultural, and they would have shared material things as well. And you know, if some of you who've been to other communities around the world will know that, you know, when they take their offering on a Sunday morning, for instance, particularly in rural developing communities, you know, you'll see that there's like bags of vegetables and fruits and stuff like that that will come, and people consider that part of their giving and their tithing. And I just want to say to you as well that I think that what we're seeing here is the idea of sharing with one another that is above and beyond their tithes, if you like. And I'm not going to get into sort of talking too much about that side of things today, but you know, I know some people think that the idea of giving a tenth of your income is not part of the New Testament way of thinking. I would make an argument to say that it is, but you know, we'll never fall out over it, and it's not something that we demand as a church, but I know that many of you do that. And I think what we're seeing here is the idea of sharing with other people above and beyond their tithe, but equally I think that it is then the responsibility of a local church to use the tithes that come in to make sure that they're caring for the needy in their community as well. So it's a sort of double whammy there, really. Because time's short, not going to unpack that, but I do want to sort of think a little bit about the season that we're in and thinking about how we can engage with these thoughts in the season that we're in. You know, this last week we've seen in a lot of comments, you know, this season's forcing us to have to think hard, isn't it? And think about our values and think about what's important and what we're going to do about those needs and things that we see around us, you know. And I think that's true of this whole financial situation. You know, just in the last week we've been getting increasing reports, haven't we, of how we are likely to see the biggest recession in history, in recorded history, and we should brace ourselves for tough times ahead. Now, I don't want to be a prophet of doom and gloom, and let's believe and trust for better, but nevertheless I think we should be preparing for the worse, and I think that that's an appropriate and a wise thing to do. And so I just want to think, you know, are there any, so I've been thinking about that this week and thinking, well, is there any example in the book of Acts, the record of the, you know, the early church's way of living that is an outworking of what we see in Acts chapter 2 here and that can speak into our current situation? And I think my mind ran to Acts chapter 11. Let me just share this screen with you just for a few moments. Acts chapter 11. We see that at that time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine over the world. It happened under Claudius. So the disciples determined that according to ability, each should send relief to their brothers who lived in Judea. This they did, sending it to the presbyters in care, or the elders in care of Barnabas and Saul. So I think what we're seeing here is a situation in one sense that I think connects with us in a few ways, really, in our current context. You know, this time there was it was a spiritually discerned understanding that there was going to be a season of hardship brought on by a famine. You know, we might say, well, at the moment it's not necessarily prophets that are speaking, but there are those that are predicting the future is going to be a little bit tough for many people. And for these guys, what they did in that particular time was they then decided, hearing that this was going to happen, each one decided that they would practically respond and that they would try and care for those who were directly impacted by that particular crisis that's coming up. It was an expression of fellowship, of shared life, of looking after one another in tough times, in difficult seasons. Now, there are some sort of thoughts I want to just add into that, because I think what's interesting to note, or important to notice, is that each gave according to their ability. Often when, you know, we talk about money in church context and we talk about, you know, giving and helping others, it can end up in a sort of feeling of sort of guilt or feeling that there's pressure. And I would never want to do that. I really would never want to do that. You know, they gave out of what they had, not out of what they didn't have. You know, giving is never meant to be something that causes hardship for us as an individual. It's meant to be something where we give out of what we've got. And it was also organized. Earlier on in Acts chapter 4, for instance, we see that they came and they left the their gifts at the apostles' feet. It was something that was organized. And I think, you know, for us here locally, I mean, we will work, lean into reach quite hard, really, and work with them in terms of the way that we outwork. You know, when we give overseas, we try and make sure that we do that in a way that is structured, that we do it through another organization or directly to people that we know, and we monitor that. I think that's really important that we organize. Otherwise, you know, we tend to end up giving to the people who have the loudest voice and not necessarily the people with the biggest need. But yeah, that said, I just want to sort of cut to the chase because I know that time is short here, and just say, you know, where does that affect us now? Well, we are in a season, aren't we, of having to think about these things, and for some of us, we are going to be those that find it tough. And I want you to know that as much as we're able to, we'll try and stand with you as we can. Other listeners are going to find that, you know, well, actually, I'm not directly, I'm coping, I'm being okay with this. And others of us are going to find that, you know, that our financial affairs stay okay during this season. And what I'd like to just make an appeal, in the spirit of fellowship, of what we see in the New Testament, of being a church that inherits the power and the life of God, is to say, you know, in this season, let's not just be thinking about ourselves when we plan our finances. You know, I would always encourage you to budget, always encourage you to think about how you spend your money and how you manage your wealth, if you like, or your, the things that you have. And can I just encourage us at this season to be thinking about how we do that in such a way that we're thinking of others. Now, Jesus taught us in that great prayer, the Lord's Prayer, to pray as part of that prayer, give us today our daily bread. He didn't teach us to pray, give me today my daily bread. He taught us in that prayer to be mindful of our shared needs, of what we need together. And so maybe in this season, you could be thinking, how could your £20 extra in your budget for that month, how could that help somebody else? How could the fact that you're not spending so much on fuel, you could either put that back into your own pocket, or you could be thinking about how you could help somebody else survive this season. And let's also be those that don't just think locally. Think about how you can support Reach a little bit more. Think about how you can, you know, as a church, we will make sure that in our finances, that we are mindful of the needs of others. That it's, you know, so if you're giving it into the local church, we'll make sure that we're thinking about that as well and we're acting on that. If you give overseas, give through a credible organisation, won't you? You know, you can do that through us as a local church, and we'll work in partnership with other groups to do that. Or you give, you know, groups like World Vision or, you know, Tear Fund or the likes, you know. That's got to be a matter for you personally, how you do that. But this is a conversation that I know we will revisit over the next few months, in the coming weeks and months. But I just want you to raise it, really. And I think that it's important. Don't give up on giving, will you? And equally, what I do know is that there is, in one sense, a blessing that comes from the Lord when we give. We don't give to get back, but we give to be a blessing. And in that sense, God blesses us back somehow or another. I don't know how he does it, but he does. Seen it again and again and again over the years. So let's pray, shall we? That Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And let's continue over these next months and seasons to be a church that commits itself to fellowship, to the sharing of our resources, so that we all get through this season. God bless you. Have a great week. Be blessed in all you do.
Well, thank you, Paul, for those words. And I would encourage you to really think about those things this week. Pray about it. Pray for God to just maybe plant something on your heart this week. And finances are always difficult, aren't they? But really, really just pray. I'm sure God will speak to you in the way that is appropriate for this time. Good. Well, what we'll do now is take communion together. And part of that verse in Acts says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread together. And it's a key thing, isn't it? It's not something we just do every so often. It should be a key part of our lives to really remember what Jesus did for us, where our hope is, it's a good thing to do, and it's been great to do it over this time where we can't be physically together. So I would encourage you to take your bread and wine or juice, and as you do, I'm just going to read some verses from Luke. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." What we'll do now is spend some time in prayer. And I don't know about you, but seeing the scenes in London yesterday and all that's going on, it's quite unsettling. And more than ever, we need to just put our hope in God and all his promises. Let's pray together. Do comment on the feed. And we will lift up those prayers as we meet together during the week, the prayer times, and I'm sure other people will also take them on in their own personal time. Whatever it may be, do comment. Yeah, Lord, so we do just pray for our country. More widely, but also in this town, and the divisions that are often hidden, that are often kept close and in our minds, Lord, we do just pray for those. We just pray for peace where there is division and where there is hatred. We do just pray for a real peace. We pray in our town that this season will bring people together, that it will be a time of restoration, and goodness, doesn't the world need restoration? And we just pray as a church we'll know how to respond to the situations that we see on the news. And Lord, help us have wisdom to know how to respond. And Lord, we do pray for those who are close to us that are suffering with their health, whether that be physical or mental, as the lockdown continues, and yes, the restrictions have lifted slightly, but life is not back to normal. So let's just spend a minute or two just lifting up those people who are known to us, who are personal to us at this time. We do pray for the key workers who are working faithfully in the hospitals and their care homes, and we think about Cleves, probably one of our closest neighbours in terms of the community centre, and we just pray for protection over their staff and their residents. May there be no more cases there, and may they have peace and health and good health in that place. And we pray for the nurses and the staff at Adam Brooks and at West Suffolk in particular, that they will have everything they need. And as the response moves and changes, we just pray for wisdom in leadership there, that they'll be able to meet the needs of the people, Lord. And we do pray for the leadership of this town, and we pray for people in leadership, in charities like Reach and like others who really are on the front line of responding to people's health and needs at this time. We just pray for wisdom and strength, which in what's going to be a difficult time, we do just pray for them. And we thank you for the Haverhill churches, and we just pray for the leadership that, and as a church, we'll be able to respond in the right way. Amen. Well, it would be good to just spend a few minutes in worship, and I'm going to play the song King of My Heart, and I apologise that I'm going to a video of myself, but as I was looking through the songs that we have, I felt that it was appropriate for this morning, really reflected the psalm that I read at the start of just our hope being in Jesus, and remembering even in these difficult times that God is good. So I'm going to play that video now, so do take a few minutes. The lyrics will come up, and I hope it's a meaningful time for you as you worship in your home.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, He is my song. You are good, the good Lord. You are good, the good Lord. 'Cause you are good, you're good Lord. You are good, you're good. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, He is my song. You are good, you're good, no. You are good, you're good, no. 'Cause you are good, you're good, no. 'Cause you are good, you're good.
Good stuff. I was getting carried away then. Good. Well, that brings our time together to an end. I hope you've been I hope you've been encouraged this morning. So we've got a coffee hangout again after the service. I will put the graphic in on the stream at the end. So do connect with that. Kate is leading that this morning. It's been great just catching up, having a coffee, and seeing each other. And then finally, just to say, this will be our final week, myself and Amy, of leading on the Sunday. Amy is going into maternity leave at the end of next week. And so thought I would just say, so it's over to Paul. but yeah, so of course we will appreciate your prayers as we go into this new season. And of course we will still be keeping in touch and still be around. So why don't I just pray as we finish. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for church. Thank you for this community. And I just pray a blessing over each and every person that's watching this, that they will have a blessed week and have everything they need to be of good health and to put you first as they go about their weeks. Amen. So I will put on the coffee hangout graphic. So do join in a couple of minutes and have a brilliant week.